KBOO Portland. The time is 4:59. Coming up next is the KBOO Evening News.
KBOO would like to say thank you to our community partners that are feeding our volunteers today. Breakfast is from Toast at 5222 Southeast 52nd Avenue. Toast is a neighborhood restaurant established in 2007 using locally grown and raised products. Lunch is from Bar Carlo at 6433 Southeast Foster, serving a bistro-inspired menu, weekend brunch with vegan and vegetarian options. Dinner is from Mississippi Pizza at 3552 North Mississippi Avenue. With more than 10 years of pizza and salads for the community, along with live music, trivia, karaoke, and bingo.
Hello, KBOO members. You are invited to attend KBOO's Mission and Vision Retreat on May the 30th from noon to 4 p.m. This retreat is an opportunity for members to support the development of a mission and vision statement for KBOO and to share your valuable knowledge about your community radio station. If you would like to attend the retreat on May the 30th, get in touch with Monica Beamer and RSVP by sending her an email at monica@kboo.org or calling 503-231-8032, extension 201. More details about the agenda for the retreat will be sent to you when you RSVP. We hope to see you on May the 30th, and thank you for being an active member of KBOO.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, thousands of Oregonians submit comments to the governor opposing a proposed Nestle bottled water plant in Columbia River Gorge.
We'll hear from a local activist who was racially profiled on the Portland streetcar.
Palestinians commemorate the Nakba, the day that Israel was established on their land in 1948.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, May 15th, 2015. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Ethan Martin.
And I'm Linda Olson-Osterland. Thousands of Oregonians submitted comments to the Department of Fish and Wildlife opposing a water rights deal, which would allow Nestle to start profiting off our water supply. In addition to comments sent to the regulatory agency, 25,000 petitioners asked Governor Kate Brown to simply block the deal. Joe Meyer spoke with Courtney Johnson from BARC.
As of yesterday, actually, the public comment period to submit to the Oregon Department of Water Resources was closed. That was a 30-day public comment period. BARC submitted about 7,000 comments alone, just through our website and through handwritten comments that we collected from our supporters. I'm not sure of a total number from Food and Water Watch and some of the other groups in the Keep Nestle Out of the Gorge Coalition. But that has been kind of the most recent. It included delivering public comments as well directly to Governor Kate Brown. There was a press event yesterday in Salem. I believe we had about 3,000 comments to submit to her directly yesterday. And again, there were more than that from groups in the Keep Nestle Out of the Gorge Coalition, but I do not have that number. Going forward, I think we're going to see probably several weeks of the Department of Water Resources going over those public comments, and we should try to keep that pressure on the agency and on the governor's office. So I guess that's where we stand right now. Yeah.
Great. What is the role of Kate Brown in this process?
Basically, she directs the state agencies, and so at her direction, she could ask them to either, retract the application to transfer the water rights between the state or the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the city of Cascade Locks. And she could also direct the Department of Water Resources to not approve those applications. So there's two levels of state agencies that she, you know, those people work for her. So she can direct them in the public interest.
Do you recommend that our listeners write to Kate Brown or to those agencies?
The public comment period has closed to the agencies. So, yes, right to Governor Kate Brown.
And so in some ways it's a political decision.
Well, she really is, it's reached a level that where she is the only person who can instruct those directors of those agencies to take these kinds of actions. And they are not, those directors are not elected. So from the public's perspective, it's we need to put pressure on the governor so that she will give the directives to those agencies and retract the transfer, retract the applications or deny approving those applications.
And what's the clearest argument you could make to Kate Brown?
This water is incredibly valuable to the people of Oregon, to wildlife, and to water security in the future. We have a lot of evidence that Nestle is not a socially conscious company, and well, we don't want to set a bad precedent giving a corporate entity the opportunity to control something that is currently a public resource.
And does BARC have any actions planned in the near future?
We have ongoing action, which is to continue putting pressure on Governor Kate Brown.
All right, thanks for talking to KBOO.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. That was Courtney Johnson of BARC. The comment period for the regulatory process has now ended. The best chance of keeping Nestle out of the gorge is petitioning Kate Brown to use her position as governor to alter the course of the process. And this is Joe Meyer with KBOO News.
Portland resident and activist Cameron Witten was arrested on May 5th on charges of trespassing on a Portland City streetcar after getting into a verbal altercation with the streetcar driver, which began when Witten attempted to point out some serious damage to the streetcar's ventilation system, which he believed posed a safety hazard to the riders. KBOO's Ethan Martin spoke earlier today with him about the situation.
Maybe you could just kind of tell us what the circumstances of that event were so that we can kind of familiarize our audience with it.
Sure. That day was May Day, and I had spent time walking around the demonstrations, taking pictures, and earlier that week, I had just had my bike stolen, and so in order to get home, I jumped on the streetcar, and this was about 2.5 hours after the May Day protests were over. It was 9:30 at night. I was at Powell's bookstore, and was getting on to head to Northwest 23rd District. And I was talking with a friend, and I realized that there's all this water that was falling on me. It was all over the floor. It was all over the chairs. It looked really bad. It looked like it could have been a slipping hazard, and people around me all looked really uncomfortable because there was just a massive amount of water that was dripping from this air vent. And so I went to the operator, and I tried to bring to his attention. I pretty much said to him, excuse me, there's water everywhere. Do you want to call us in? And his response to me was, it's just water. He yelled at me. It was very, aggressive and dismissive. I flinched at it because I wasn't expecting such a response from the operator. He had just gotten on the streetcar a few stops before, but I ignored it and I walked away.
Was it just indeed just water?
It wasn't just water. And so what happened was after I went up to him for the first time and he yelled at me, other passengers started complaining. And one of the passengers actually pointed out that there was a burning smell. And he proceeded to continue to yell at me. He pretty much was like, I already told you, it's just water. Now you need to leave me alone and let me drive. And I said to him, that's rude. But I walked away. And I started taking pictures of the streetcar. And I took pictures of the duct tape I was keeping one of the walls together. I took pictures of the ground, which had water everywhere. Took pictures of the air vent, which had, you know, drops of liquid coming from it. But there was also black burn marks all around the vent. And I took these pictures because I wanted to get it to the attention of somebody who was managing streetcar as soon as possible. And at this point, he's yelling at me even more, and he's, you know, telling me that, you know, if I don't like it, I should just get on another streetcar. And that's when I ask him for his name, because I'm just really just feel like he's being really discourteous to me for trying to have a safety hazard actually listened to. And he, you know, tells me that he doesn't have to give me his name. And then he slams the door on me. And so at this point, you know, I no longer engage with the operator. But a few minutes later, he opens up his cabin door, and he's on the phone with somebody, and he's giving away my description, you know, what I'm wearing, talking about me being a black man, and he says something about 911. And at that point, you know, and so at that point, it's obvious that the police are being called on me, which I just couldn't believe. And so I called the director of the Portland Bureau of Transportation, and I told her what was going on. And then the supervisor got on the train, and, you know, immediately he, you know, bought into the story of the operator and treated me like I was some kind of criminal. He's very dismissive, very terse with me, pretty much said, you know, the streetcar is really old and it gets hot outside, and that's the reason why, you know, there's water everywhere and it's smoky. It's just an old car. And he pretty much said that my behavior was disruptive to the operator, and for that reason I needed to leave. And, you know, we're at a time in this nation where we're seeing a lot of men and women of color actually documenting this happening, where they've been criminalized for a broken taillight, or maybe they look like a gangster. But really, we know that it is the institutional racism that continues to permeate in our society. And I really felt like I was victim to that.
Cameron Witten will appear in court on Monday with legal counsel on the misdemeanor charge of trespassing in the second degree.
Now, KABU volunteers, and that includes me and Ethan here, have been working hard to bring you the evening news every single evening. Well, we don't do it every single evening, but other volunteers do, just like us. And, you know, we do it because we love it, but we also do it because we believe this news is important to you and no one else is going to get it there. Right now, we're going to have Jenka join us, and she's going to let you know how you can support the KABU evening news.
Yes, and we are in the last hours of our membership drive. The drive ends tomorrow, and I want to let people know, if you've been holding out, now is the time to give. We are a little bit short, and we need to make up some of the difference. We've been doing well today, and we need to make up a little bit more. We have cut in on that 30,000 that we had as of this morning. We have about 25,000 to go to reach the $95,000 that is our goal for by tomorrow. And I know that we can do that. If we have one major donor give $25,000, that will put us over the top. If we have 25 people giving $1,000, that will also do it, or 1,000 people giving $25, any combination thereof. So please call right now and support KABU, whatever level you can do, whatever is comfortable for you, and maybe just stretch a little bit and give a little more, a little deeper. Think about the meaning of community radio, and just push yourself a little bit to maybe, if you're going to give $5 a month, give $10 a month. If you're going to give $10, maybe think about doing $20. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. KABU's been exposing institutional racism like that described here by Cameron Witten locally and nationally for many, many years now. We are the station that brings it to you. We do that with your support. You know, at 877-500-5266, you may think, well, as a charity, $60 is a lot. It's a big contribution. I don't give that much to others. Well, think of it more like a co-op. You're a part of a cooperative, and you become an owner then of the station. So you're actually buying a share. If you buy a CSA share, it's, you know, $200, $300, $400. If you buy a share in a food co-op, it's often that much as well. So whatever amount works for you, we don't actually tell you what your share should be. We let you decide whether you can do the $60 level and get a book as a thank you gift, whether you can do the $75 level, get the flash drive filled with amazing audio as a thank you gift, or whether you could do $20 a month and get the KBOO hoodie as your thank you gift. And then you're in the KBOO hoodie club. You go around town and you you sport this hoodie and show off to other KBOO members, and you can be part of that kind of KBOO hoodie secret society if you can do the $20 a month. If you can swing it, think about it. We don't want you to break the bank, but a lot of people can do $20 a month when you don't really think that you can, because it isn't that much when it comes right down to it, when you think about the value that you get from community radio. Again, the number to call, 877-500-5266. Help us fill in the gaps and reach this goal by tomorrow. We need your support. This is your chance to support the evening news. It's so important to have a local newscast like this one, and you're the person that we count on to keep it coming every single day, to be able to provide and produce this newscast with all of the local stories about the Nestle in the Gorge, about the racism on the Portland streetcar. We're going to have more stories coming up about a Georgia teenager's death who was also questionable circumstances. We'll hear about Mexican farmers, the Palestinians today commemorating al-Nakba. There are so many stories that are reported on the KBOO News that are not headlined anywhere else. So please support this station, support this newscast, and call right now. Whatever level works for you, we need your support. 877-500-5266.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Bread and Roses after the news at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather is cloudy with highs of 65, and Sunday's weather is partially cloudy with highs of 75. Today in history, in 1948, marked the beginning of what is known in the Palestinian territories as al-Nakba, or catastrophe in Arabic. This was the day when the State of Israel was established on the land of historic Palestine, displacing over 700,000 indigenous Palestinians. The quote of the day is from Bill Moyers, who was featured earlier today on KBOO's News and Public Affairs Day. He said, "Democracy may not prove in the long run to be as efficient as other forms of government, but it has one saving grace. It allows us to know and say that it isn't."
Today, the jury considering the fate of Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev have sentenced him to death by lethal injection. Tsarnaev was convicted of all 30 federal charges against him last month, 17 of which carried the possibility of the death penalty. The jury took only 14 hours to reach its verdict. Four people were killed on April 15, 2013, along with 260 wounded when Tsarnaev and his older brother Tamerlan exploded the two pressure cooker bombs near the finish line. The two brothers were then pursued for several days in Boston by a massive police response that ultimately shut down entire neighborhoods. His brother was shot and killed by police, while the brother shot and killed an MIT security officer. Tsarnaev's lawyer, Judy Clark, admitted at the beginning of the trial that he was indeed guilty of the bombing, but she argued for a life prison sentence, claiming that his older brother was responsible for most of the attack.
The death of a teenager in Georgia 2 years ago continues to raise questions, and now a key witness has pleaded guilty to making a false accusation. The witness had told investigators that he heard two people admitting to killing Kendrick Johnson. Now he says he made the whole thing up. But in his statement, he gave no reason why he made up the story, and the family of the victim are concerned that he may have been pressured by the family of the accused. The two people he fingered in the case were the sons of an FBI agent and classmates of the victim.
They hired a high-profile lawyer and in March filed a counter-lawsuit against the family of the late Kendrick Johnson. The case made national headlines because of the mysterious circumstances surrounding the death of the young black teen. His body was found rolled up in a carpet in the closet of a high school gym. Organs were missing, and his body had been stuffed with newspaper. The local sheriff's department, however, has stood by its finding that Johnson's death was accidental. No charges were ever filed against the two brothers, accused by the witnesses, and now that the key witness has backed out, it appears unlikely that anyone will be held responsible for the death of Kendrick Johnson.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers, including those you're hearing right here, are working hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So we're asking you now to take a moment, and actually I'm going to be joined by Jenka from another room. We can see each other through the windows here at the KBOO Studios at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. That's one of the places that you can come and bring your dollars to become a member. Jenka, tell them some other things they can do to become a member.
It's really easy to become a member right now. You can call the phone number 877-500-5266, or you can go online, kboo.fm. And it's really significant, actually, that you call right now during the evening news, because we want to make our goal for this show and for this membership drive. We are getting closer and closer to that $95,000 goal that we are going to hit tomorrow, and we need your support in order to get there. I want to offer people a book if you are able to give now during this hour. It's called Coming Back to Life, The Updated Guide to the Work That Reconnects. If you can do the $5 a month level or above, you can get this book. Authors Joanna Macy and Molly Brown address the anguish experienced by those who would confront the harsh realities of our time. And they talk about how grief, anger, fear are healthy responses to the threats to life. And when they are honored, they can free us from paralysis and panic and the revolutionary practice of the work that reconnects. That book is a thank you for those who give $5 a month or more. It's very easy to set up. You don't need to have a penny in your pocket right now. All you need to do is call that number and sign up and say, yes, I can do that. I can manage $5 a month in my budget. When you think about the value that KBOO gives you, $5 a month is really not very much to pay to subscribe to a community radio station that gives you every aspect of news, from local, national, international, underlying issues, investigative reporting. Again, the number 877-500-5266. If you're driving, pull over. It's that important. We want you to just take a moment out of your day right now and make that phone call.
If you're a last minute, or this is kind of like last minute, right?
This is the last minute. This is the last newscast in this membership drive.
You know, the stories that we've brought and heard already here today about Cameron Whitten and the difficulty he had in just trying to do his social duty and responsibility and pointing out something that was dangerous, to Nestle trying to take over our water. You know, these issues may get a spotlight here or there sometimes in the other news media in Oregon, but never in depth and never going to the voices themselves. That's one of the things you can really count on from KBOO. And, you know, our news department is well known because we've had many professionals end up coming out of here. People like Ethan, who produced our news today, move on to produce news for their living at other kinds of outlets. That's the training that gets done in the KBOO Evening News. I was actually trained here. Jenka threw me into it. She, you know, I think it was like second day. She said, "Would you like to read that story on air?" And I was panicked. But you know, that's how we learn. And she counts on. She knows that we're here to learn and we can do it. And she throws us forward. It's a really important part of the KBOO Evening News is not just that you get that good news, but that people are being trained as reporters and journalists in the process, people who will go on with that to make a difference in the rest of the world, carry this model of KBOO with them if they go to other places. Please call us right now at 877-500-5266. We literally can't do this without your dollars.
Zoe Sullivan is now down at The Nation in Washington, D.C. She is their Washington editor. She's going to be coming here and speaking on the big stage in Portland, along with some big names like Naomi Klein this coming fall. And she got her start here at KBOO. And many others, and many of the voices actually that you hear on OPB, Julie Sabatier, Emily Harris, Spencer Raymond now on OPB, got their start here at KBOO, got free training here at KBOO. This is a community radio station. It's where everybody comes together, and it's like a potluck on the airwaves.
It's also just a wonderful place to visit. So I'll emphasize it again. Come on out in that little bit of drizzle and come to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Get a tour around the offices. You can look see us looking at each other through the windows if you hurry up and get there during the news. But more importantly, you know, support the fact that you have this kind of news. Don't take it for granted. My sister in Seattle says they don't have anything like this up there, anything like KBOO up there. And it doesn't mean they don't get any progressive news, and you can go on the web, but you're having to search it out. With KBOO, you go to 90.7 or on your computer, just stream it live, and it's that easy. But it takes dollars to keep it going, and we're a little behind for this drive. It's been a really great response, so let's get that momentum going again. We like to hear phones ringing behind Jenka's head.
We've got volunteers here. We're ready to take your call.
That's right. 877-500-5266 is the number. You can also go to kboo.fm. I haven't mentioned that, but if you go there to donate, you'll also see some of the new improved parts of our website, something that KBOO volunteers helped bring about by writing a grant and getting us some money to have a better website, more responsive to you, so that you can listen to any show that we've had on recently and you can find it easily, a lot of other good parts of it. Go to kboo.fm and become a member that way. It takes about 3 minutes.
And it's actually continuing to improve. We're going to roll out a new website in July that's even more responsive, has more features, and has a lot more audio and easier to find. So it just continues. You know, the growth here at KBOO, the connection, the community, it all just grows and grows. It's amazing to see it happen. Please be a part of it right now. Support this station and keep this kind of hard-hitting news on the air. 877-500-5266. It would just be so horrible to turn on the radio and not have the KBOO evening news.
Ooh, think about that. Would upset me.
What does it do for you? It gives you news and information that is absolutely necessary. And it's just about the only local newscast. When you think about it, we're providing this service and we're doing it with volunteer reporters. I mean, it's a phenomenon. It's amazing that KBOO's able to do this when paid reporters are not able to come up with the stories that we find. 877-500-5266. And we're going to go back to the news. Please keep those phones ringing. 877-500-5266.
Today, the United States House of Representatives passed a $612 billion budget inflated with military spending provisions with a vote of 269-151. The National Defense Authorization Act effectively blew away the cap on spending for stateside and military expenditures put in place by a bipartisan Congress back in 2011. Democrats argue that military spending should be even with domestic program spending. The House also passed an amendment to get rid of language in the budget agreement that would have allowed undocumented Americans to serve in some positions in the military. As an added bonus, a measure that to keep Guantanamo Bay prison open and further restrict releases from the prison moving forward was tacked onto the package as well. House and Senate versions of the budget must be reconciled before they take effect, and that could happen within a few months. President Obama said he would veto this piece of legislation.
Farm workers at export-oriented mega farms in northwestern Mexico have secured a tentative victory in their two-month-long strike. Free Speech Radio News reporter Shannon Young has more.
Thousands of farm workers gathered under the open sky in Mexico's San Quintin Valley as strike representatives read from a rooftop the 13 points of an agreement negotiated with government officials during a marathon meeting that started Wednesday and wrapped up early Thursday. If implemented, it would significantly improve pay and labor conditions for tens of thousands in the region's mostly indigenous workforce. Under the agreement, wages earned by fruit and vegetable pickers would increase to more than $13 a day, double the prevailing pay rates when the strike began in mid-March. Legal recognition would be granted to a new independent union. The deal also calls for the creation of a registry of farm workers to better access health care benefits that are supposed to be part of all formal employment in Mexico, a measure some bosses duck by keeping laborers off the books. Other points pertain to improved housing conditions and work camps, eliminating child labor in the fields, and the release of detained farm workers. The breakthrough meeting occurred after a violent police crackdown in a farm worker's neighborhood on May 9th and a threat of an international boycott of brands with suppliers in the San Quintin Valley. While farm workers and their supporters celebrate the agreement as a huge step forward after weeks of stagnated talks, it has yet to be finalized. Authorities are scheduled to meet with growers on June 4th. For FSRN, I'm Shannon Young.
Palestinians commemorated the 67th anniversary of Al-Nakba, which translates to catastrophe in Arabic. This is the day when Palestinians recognized the violent takeover of Palestinian lands by armed Zionist groups in 1948, following World War II. Today's event turned two-thirds of the Palestinian, or that event turned two-thirds of the Palestinian people at the time into refugees and began the process of Israeli settlement and occupation of the Palestinian territories. The protests, although largely peaceful, were met with violence from Israeli security forces, which resulted in dozens of Palestinian injuries. In the West Bank town of Nablus, 21 Palestinians were shot in the legs with live rounds as well as rubber-coated steel bullets after throwing rocks at Israeli police forces. A large Al-Nakba event had been staged at the village of Nilin, but was thwarted when Israeli officials declared the community a closed military zone. Participants were dispersed with rubber bullets and tear gas. Another protest was held outside the Ofer prison, where Palestinian activists are often held alongside armed militants. The Ofer prison is the site of a protest 1 year ago where two Palestinian youth, aged 17 and 16, were shot dead by Israeli police forces. Video footage showed that the two youth posed no danger to Israeli police at the time of their killing. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas said in a speech commemorating the event that the Palestinian people will not give up their land or rights, and that what happened in 1948 will never happen again. To this date, roughly 5 million Palestinians are registered as refugees with the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees.